Adventure Box Max presents The Night of the Wolf, written by Antoine Lefranc, illustrated by Pauline Pernet. Chapter 1. The Test Begins. Forest of the Elders, you who have sheltered our ancestors, we salute you. At the edge of the woods, the chief of the elf clan presses the palm of his hand against his forehead and closes his eyes. All the other elves imitate him, adopting the same prayer position. After a long silence, the chief speaks up again. Noble woods, welcome our children, Fëanor and Elanira, for one night. Fëanor and Elanira step forward. The two young elves, one boy and one girl, both aged 12, are about to undergo a rite of passage. They will have to spend one night alone in the Forest of the Elders. Following this test, they will be considered as adults by the whole clan. Old elves in the tribe often say that in the forest, the spirits of the elders wake up at night. Some spirits are said to be evil and are hostile to intruders treading on their territory. It's also said that as soon as the sun sets, raucous whispering can be heard and strange silhouettes seen. Elanira has always thought that these rumours are mere tales told to frighten children. But now that she's actually standing in front of the trees, she gets the feeling that she's being watched from inside the woods. And she starts to rethink these ghost stories. What if they were true? Elanira, wait. The elf's mother takes off her earrings and removes the silver barrette attached to her hair. She goes up to her daughter, hangs the droplet-shaped beads from Elanira's ears, then attaches the barrette onto her head. Elanira lets her mother go ahead, but she would have preferred it if she left her alone. She can feel everyone staring at her. Tonight there's a full moon, which is said to attract bad luck and bring danger. Wear these family talismans. They'll protect you from the moon's evil influence. According to the elders, the barrette was carved from a fragment of the moon, and the beads contain spring water.
I'll try to do my best, Mother, Elanira replies. Now we must leave.
Leaving the clan behind, the two young elves advance on the path leading to the forest. They don't speak. In fact, they don't think much of one another. Elanira often complains that Fëanor is proud and arrogant. Fëanor, on the other hand, finds that Elanira lacks boldness. Yet they are now forced to team up and get through this rite of passage together.
Well, I'm going to look for something for dinner. Pity I don't have my bow with me. We'll just have to make do with whatever is around, Fëanor groans.
Fëanor is the son of the clan's chief. Trained by his father, an exemplary hunter, he himself is extremely skillful with a bow and arrow. But in the Forest of the Elders, it's forbidden to kill animals.
Hey, look up there,
he says, pointing at an overhead branch. Elanira lifts her head and notices a beehive.
There's our dessert. Give me a leg up, Fëanor exclaims.
Elanira starts to protest. It's stupid to risk getting stung by bees just for a sweet treat. But Fëanor insists, so she gives in. They've still got to spend the whole night together, and she doesn't want to risk clashing with him straight away. She joins her hands together so that Fëanor can hitch himself up to the lowest branch. He nimbly climbs up to the beehive and breaks off a large chunk before scurrying down, followed by a vengeful swarm. The two elves run deeper in the forest while furious buzzing fills their ears. When, finally, the bees give up the attack, Fëanor and Elanira stop to catch their breaths. Elanira brings her hands up to her head, then gives a big sigh of relief. Phew! She didn't lose the earrings or the barrette while running.
That was smart. Imagine if one of the beasts stung one of us in the eye. We'd have been forced to leave the forest and fail the challenge, Elanira complains.
Stop grumbling and always imagining the worst. If anyone got stung, you could have concocted a balm from your family's recipes.
Potions, lotions, ointments and other remedies hold no secrets for Elanira, whose mother is a healer. Ever since she was small, the young elf has learned to prepare cures using plants picked from the woods. She knows the recipes for getting rid of headaches, overcoming insomnia, or healing infected wounds.
What I'd like most of all is an ointment to cure you of crazy ideas.
Close by, the crackling of branches is suddenly heard. They go nearer to the sound. Fëanor pricks up his ears. He recognizes the footsteps of someone on two legs. The forest isn't meant to be inhabited. Who could it be? Elanira feels a surge of anguish tightening her heart. What if it was a ghost? Chapter 2. The Intruder. A man wearing an ochre tunic appears around a curve in the track. Elanira is relieved. It is only a human. When he spots the elves, he frowns. Fëanor walks right up to the man and rebukes him.
What are you doing here, human? You're in the forest of the elders. No human is allowed to enter it. Leave immediately, or my father, chief of the clan, will punish you.
The intruder raises his hands in a sign of appeasement.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'll only be here for one night, I promise you. Afterwards, I'll leave. Now, leave me alone, please.
Elanira puts a hand on Fëanor's arm to hold him back, but he shakes himself free and steps forward. Rather than being intimidated by the man who stands three heads above him, the young elf looks him up and down. Their eyes meet.
You humans are always trying to bargain with us. Leave immediately or I'll...
Fëanor doesn't have time to finish his threat. The intruder grabs him by the collar of his tunic.
Ah!
Elanira gives a cry of distress. Fëanor doesn't look so confident anymore and tries to free himself, but the man's fist is firm. The man brings his forehead up against Fëanor's. His pupils are yellow.
Listen to me. I don't want to cause you any harm, but I'm capable of it. I'm staying here tonight. After that, you'll never hear from me again. Now, scram, and don't you dare follow me. Is that clear?
Fëanor nods. Without another word, the man releases him and goes deeper into the forest. Elanira tries to help Fëanor up on his feet, but the young elf is furious and pushes her away.
It was before that I needed your help. Why didn't you attack him?
First the bees, then the human, and now he's challenging Elanira. Fëanor is someone who looks for trouble. Elanira, usually mild-tempered, bursts out.
Fëanor, you know the rules of the clan. Ever since the end of the Great War against the humans, we've had orders not to lash out at them. You acted stupidly by being aggressive. Let that be a lesson to you. Now follow me.
Fëanor grumbles but agrees to follow Elanira, who decides to turn back to steer clear of the human and avoid a new incident. As they walk, the two elves gather provisions for their supper. Berries, seeds, small lemons and leaves. Thanks to her family, Elanira knows how to identify edible plants. While looking for water, they discover a wide river winding between some trees. Fëanor removes an empty flask hanging off his belt and fills it. Elanira unties the bundle of food gathered and squeezes a small lemon into Fenor's flask to give the water a tangy taste. The sun vanishes behind the trees, and shadows start to lengthen. The two elves decide to stop at a clearing to rest. On the way, Fenor has picked up wood to make a fire. With the help of a silex and a piece of amadou, he manages to produce a flame that ignites the dry wood. The fire crackles and Elenir appraises him. Yet Fenor still looks tense. He's still mulling over his confrontation with the human. Within the clan, he is practically always the winner of any competition. He's not used to being defeated so easily. Elenir understands that his pride has taken a blow. Once they're settled, they eat in silence while listening to the noises of the night. A concert of animal cries erupts. Suddenly, a terrible scream of pain is heard. The two elves freeze. It was the voice of a man. "Do you think it's the human that we met before?" asks Elenir. Fenor looks all around and replies, "Seems like it." The elf has no time to finish what he's saying when a new cry echoes. Elenir leaps onto her feet. She can't stop her whole body from trembling. She's petrified. This time, it wasn't a man's voice. It was the scream of a wild beast.
Rah!
Chapter 3. Facing the Monster.
"Fenor, do you know what animal that might have been?" Elenira asks anxiously.
As an apprentice hunter, the young elf has learned how to identify many animal cries, but he's unable to recognize this one. It resembles the howl of a wolf, but it's much fiercer.
Rah!
They hear the cry again. Fenor attempts to ignore his fear. He must show himself as worthy of his father and let Elenir see nothing. When he begins to make his way to the noise's origin, Elenira grabs him by the arm.
"Fenor, what are you doing? Come on, we need to stay somewhere safe. You know the clan's instructions in the event of danger. We need to climb up a tree. That way, even if the creature locates us, it won't be able to reach us."
The other elf turns around and looks at her defiantly.
"I know the instructions, but it's out of the question that I fail to help the human. Don't forget the clan's basic rule. Ever since peace was declared between our peoples, if an elf or a human is threatened on our territory, we must do all we can to help them. Up to you if you want to perch on a tree branch. I'm going over there."
Elenira knows that she won't be able to change his mind, so she resigns herself to following him. Luckily, the screams have stopped. She hopes that the cries were no more than the moaning of wind in the tree branches. Guided by the moonlight, the two elves continue their way. Suddenly, Fenor stops and points at a tree trunk. It's been slashed savagely. The hunter's son inspects the traces that have nicked the bark. He's never seen such long, deep marks.
"Maybe it's the work of a grizzly bear," he guesses.
"Look, over there," whispers Elenira.
On the ground, she's spotted a heap of fabric. She crouches down and examines a tattered garment, an ochre tunic. Fear invades her again when she recognizes it as what the man from before was wearing.
"Fenor, the human must have been killed."
"Wait. Look carefully. It's strange. There's no blood. Maybe he tore off part of his tunic and threw it at the creature to distract it while he fled."
A chilling noise of chewing comes from behind the elves. Elenira turns around and almost screams out when she discovers a frightful sight. Thankfully, her stomach is in knots and nothing comes out of her mouth. A few meters away from them, in a small clearing, a wild beast is kneeling and devouring a deer carcass. Elenira has never seen such a creature before. It is over 2 meters tall, with a body covered in black fur and a face like a wolf's. Fëanor takes Elenira's hand and gently pulls her as he tiptoes backward. Elenira whispers, "We have to find the human."
"Elenira, it's him, the human," murmurs Fëanor.
The elf observes the creature carefully. Around its waist is a scrap of the ochre tunic.
"You mean it's..."
Elenira wonders.
"A werewolf. He transformed because of the full moon. That's why he didn't want us to follow him. His animal side overtook him. He won't be himself again until dawn."
"Some healers know how to concoct a preventative potion that can stop an infected man from turning into a werewolf. But I don't know any remedy for restoring a monster back to human form once the transformation has occurred."
Suddenly, the beast lifts its head and sniffs the air. In a flash, it spins around, stands up, and advances in their direction. Paralyzed on the spot, the two elves are unable to flee. The beast takes another step towards them. It bends its legs and widens its arms, ready to pounce. Elenira stares in terror at the large claws on its fingertips and the sharp teeth protruding from its mouth. Elenira and Fëanor are now its prey. The boy tries not to yield to his panic and thinks back to what his father taught him about werewolves.
"Elenira, I'm going to count to three. At three, we'll run. One, two..."
Just as he's about to say the number three, the beast jumps at him.
Rawr!
Chapter 4. Escape. Thinking on his feet, Fëanor spins to one side to avoid the werewolf, then takes the flask off his belt and quickly removes the stopper. He's remembered his father's advice. If confrontation with an enemy is inevitable, then their weak point is their eyes. Just as the beast lifts its paw ready to slash him, Fëanor throws the lemony water at its yellow eyes. The werewolf groans and hunches over, bringing its paws to its face. Quick, not a minute to lose. The elf grabs Elenira's hand and they flee as fast as they can. It's not long before they hear footsteps running after them. The beast has already recovered its sight and is now chasing them. It scampers on four legs, giving it an advantage in speed over its prey. The elves will have more trouble losing the werewolf than the swarm of bees.
"Elenira," Fëanor puffs, "where's the river where we filled the flask?"
"Over there, on the right, after the birch trees. Do you think it can't swim?"
"It's worth a try."
Finally, they arrive at the riverbank. The river is quite deep and its current is strong. Fëanor jumps into the water and urges Elenira to do the same, but she hesitates. She's not a good swimmer like her companion. The sound of growling approaches. Between the werewolf and the freezing water, she makes a decision. She takes a deep breath and jumps. The monster arrives at the riverbank and howls furiously. It bares its teeth and whips the choppy water with its claws. But to the great relief of the elves, it dares to go no further. After a few minutes, despite his drenched clothes that make swimming harder, Fëanor reaches the opposite bank and holds his hand out to help drag the other elf up onto firm land.
Come on, Elanira, you're almost there!
Unfortunately, the young elf cannot resist the powerful waves and is carried off.
Help, Fëanor! Help me!
Elanira, hang in there!
Shouts the young hunter as he dives back into the water. Fëanor manages to gain speed by stretching his arms out in front of him as his father taught him. But when he resurfaces, he can't see Elanira anywhere. Along the sides of the river, he now sees tall, rocky walls. Fëanor hangs onto some jagged rocks off one side to stop moving any further down the river. Panicking, he calls out to Elanira, but the roaring of fast-flowing water is the only reply he gets. He begins to make his way upstream again, struggling to drag himself along from rock to rock. All of a sudden, Fëanor notices a large opening in the cliff wall. Part of the river flows into it. It's wide enough for an elf to slip in. Maybe that's where Elanira is. He calls out again.
Elanira!
His voice bounces off the rocks and echoes through the cavity. Suddenly, he hears other cries that seem to come from further inside. Fëanor listens carefully.
I'm here!
Yes, that's definitely Elanira replying. Relieved to have found her, he lets himself be carried by the water. What he finds is no less than an underground river. Incredible glow-in-the-dark mushrooms sprouting on the rocky walls give off enough light for him to see where he's going. Fëanor spots Elanira on rocks to one side and pulls himself out of the water. The two elves hug one another, thrilled to find each other again. The hunter's son observes the spot where they find themselves, a huge grotto that splits into numerous galleries at the far end.
You're not injured? He asks, examining Elanira's head.
I was lucky. When my head banged against a rock, the blow was softened by my barrette. It's a little scratch, but it protected me like a small helmet. We're safe here, adds Elanira. And look, there's even dry wood on the ground. We can make a fire to dry ourselves.
Fëanor now notices a pile of branches on the ground. The wood isn't there by accident. It must have been brought here by someone. From the look of it, it's been here a very long time, and there are no traces of soot anywhere. This spot might have been inhabited once, but it's now deserted. This thought reassures the elf. Fëanor crouches down, takes out his silex and his piece of amadou. The dry wood flares up easily. Very quickly, the two young elves are warmed by the fire and their clothes begin to dry. Elanira sighs happily and lifts her head to contemplate the dancing flames. Suddenly, she cries out in surprise and points at the ceiling.
Fëanor, look!
Chapter 5. The Elders. The top of the grotto is lined with inscriptions. Elanira studies them thoughtfully. They are elf runes engraved into the rock and painted.
Wow! Fëanor exclaims in wonder. That's incredible!
I think that we've found one of the grottos where our ancestors used to live, Elanira murmurs.
She knows that in the past, the elders who lived in the forest often sheltered in grottos to protect themselves from monsters and wild beasts. Numerous underground dwellings have been discovered by elves in the forest of the elders, but some grottos remain unexplored because they are so well hidden. This seems to be one of them.
Are you able to decipher the inscriptions? Asks Fëanor.
Elanira's mother has always insisted that her daughter learn the language of the elders, although it fell out of use long ago. She often repeats,
It's the language of our ancestors. Knowing it gives us a connection to our origins
and pays homage to them. Determined to impress her companion, Elanira concentrates hard. Most of the runes are familiar to her. What she needs to do is work out how they link together to find what the phrases mean.
These are instructions, Elanira explains. A type of survival manual on how to face the dangers outside. Look, can you see the runes on the right? They indicate how to treat venomous spider bites. And over there, the runes explain how to make a snake trap.
Suddenly, Elanira stops. She sees two runes combined together. The first means human, the second, wolf.
It looks like the elders were already dealing with werewolves.
Does it tell us how to overcome them? Asks Fëanor hastily.
It tells us that we should flee them, and that, as a last resort, we can restore their human form if we manage to pierce them in the neck with a blade forged from a fragment of the moon dipped just before in spring water.
A fragment of the moon? That's impossible, Fëanor moans. Yet another dodgy legend. So we'll just have to flee, but first let's rest a bit.
Elanira agrees. All this excitement has exhausted her. She feels the weight of fatigue on her shoulders. The two elves lean against one another around the fire to keep warm. Elanira closes her eyes. The cavern's floor is much harder and damper than that of the forest, but here, at least, they're safe. Suddenly, a sound of rumbling echoes behind them. The two elves straighten up and notice a shadow sliding along one wall before returning into the darkness of the cave. Maybe it was just a little wild animal disturbed by the two intruders, or else...
Elanira, actually, we should get out of here as fast as possible, Fëanor murmurs worriedly.
Elanira shivers. She knows that Fëanor is thinking the same thing as she is. The ghosts of the elders are lurking, and it's best to leave them alone. The elf nods and joins Fëanor.
This place is a real labyrinth,
Fëanor whispers as they face a network of galleries leading from the grotto.
We mustn't take the wrong gallery.
I have a trick for finding out which one leads to the exit, says Elanira, pulling one branch from the fire.
Armed with her makeshift torch, she takes it to the mouth of each gallery, one at a time. Each time she stretches out her torch and observes the flame briefly before going to the next one. In front of one entrance, the flame bends and trembles.
Look, there's an air current that goes out of this gallery. The exit must be on the other end,
Elanira declares proudly. Both relieved and impressed by his friend's ingenuity, Fëanor picks up as many pieces of dried wood as his arms can carry. Together they advance carefully through the gallery, hoping that they won't come face to face with the ghost. As soon as the torch threatens to go out, they light another branch. Finally, the tunnel narrows and they find themselves facing a large hawthorn shrub blocking up the exit. To avoid being spotted, Fëanor snuffs out the torch and begins to clear a path through the crisscross of thorny branches. Gritting his teeth while thorns dig into his arms, he manages to bend the branches and to get out. Elanira joins him. Together, they take a few careful steps between the trees, glad to be back at surface level.
Careful, Fëanor! Elanira exclaims in alarm. Your arm is bleeding! The thorns have cut your skin up. We need to take care of that. The smell of blood risks attracting the...
A roar that is now terrifyingly familiar to them rips through the night. Very close. Too close. As Elanira feared, the werewolf must have picked up the blood scent. In the next instant, the creature is facing them and leaps at Fëanor. Chapter 6. Elanira attacks. The first strike of its claws slices through the air in an attempt to catch Fëanor. Elanira tries to go back inside the grotto, but the werewolf, guessing her intention, blocks her way. The monster seems invincible. The elves are too weary to try to flee again. Elanira plucks up her courage and raises her eyes to the wretched full moon responsible for all their misfortunes. The moon is in the same silvery shade as her barrette. Her barrette? What if her mother was speaking the truth? The elders thought that the clip was made from a fragment of the moon. Elanira feels hope growing inside her again. She has everything she needs to conquer the monster. She just needs a bit of time.
Fëanor, find a way to divert the werewolf. I'm going to get rid of it.
Her confident tone surprises Fëanor, who decides to trust her unquestioningly. He picks up a stick and makes a loud war cry while charging at the monster.
Ah! Come this way!
Elanira takes off her earrings and places them in the palm of her hand. After breathing in deeply, she tightens her grip on them to shatter the crystal and release the two drops of spring water inside. With her free hand, she deftly removes the barrette from her hair and dips its long, thin needle in the water in her palm. Meanwhile, Fëanor strikes the beast violently. He manages to make it step backwards, but it attacks again and seizes the young hunter's makeshift weapon with one sudden movement. The werewolf snaps the stick in two before unleashing a ferocious roar and grabbing his prey.
Elanira, help!
Guided by her courage, Elanira rushes towards the werewolf, holding the barrette firmly in her hand. She jumps and grips onto the long, rough fur on the beast's neck.
Watch out! This will prick!
She shouts, digging the needle into its flesh. The werewolf pushes Elanira off with one paw and brings his attention back to Fëanor. The creature lifts its arm to strike him, but all of a sudden, it freezes. Its claws retract, and its coat of fur begins to fade from its arms. Its muzzle flattens. Its ears shrink. Then it makes a yapping sound like a puppy before shrinking in size. It no longer has enough strength to carry Fëanor, who drops onto the ground next to Elanira. The two elves now have before them a haggard-looking man, trembling from head to toe.
Elanira, thank you, Fëanor whispers.
Thank the elders whose writings in the grotto explained how to neutralize this type of creature. And also my mother who taught me to read runes and who gave me her jewelry. She was right to say that this barrette would save my life. Sometimes jewelry can be just as effective as weapons, Elanira smiles.
Chapter 7, The End of the Test. Fëanor turns to the human who has slowly come around. The man has lost all his aggressiveness and looks like he's waking from a bad dream. Hard to believe that just a few moments ago he was a werewolf. With desperation in his eyes, he looks directly at the elves, kneels down, and asks for their forgiveness.
I'm so sorry. Every night when there's a full moon, I flee my village and take refuge in an uninhabited forest. So when the beast takes control of my mind and body, I'm certain that I'll only attack wild animals. I was unaware that elves lived in this forest. I beg you, don't hurt me.
Man-beast, we grant you your life on condition that you never again set foot in this forest, Fëanor announces severely. If we ever find you here again, in human or beast form, we will punish you, I swear.
Elanira is annoyed by Fëanor's attitude. He's speaking as if he were the chief of the clan himself. He has delivered his decision without even asking her opinion.
While the man thanks Fëanor for sparing him, Elenira plucks up her courage and addresses her companion.
Fëanor, it's out of the question that we let him go just like that. Human, you will accompany us to our village. The healers in our clan know how to make potions that can stop an infected man from changing back into a werewolf on full moon nights. They can take care of you and deliver you from this curse that is eating away at you.
The human's eyes sparkle with hope. He didn't know that such a potion existed. If he can be cured, then he can finally lead a normal, peaceful life among his people.
I refuse to share our secrets with humans, and even more so with a werewolf, protests the chief's son.
This man is above all the victim of the wolf sleeping inside him who takes control of his body and mind. Fëanor, weren't you the one who reminded me that one of the basic laws of our clan is to help any human in danger who is found on our territory?
Elenira concludes slyly. Even if he's still frowning, Fëanor can't help himself from smiling as he looks at Elenira. The elf in front of him is nothing like the shy girl she was before the test started. While the werewolf transformed into a man, Elenira, on the other hand, transformed into an accomplished elf. Fëanor raises his hand in a sign of yielding.
Well, you're the one who conquered the werewolf, so it's up to you to decide on this man's fate. But you'll need to convince the chief of the clan, and that won't be easy.
Your father doesn't scare me,
Elenira retorts as she straightens her hair and reattaches the precious barrette again after wiping the monster's blood from the needle.
Look, dawn is here. The night of the test is over. Both of us are now adults in the clan.
Elenira holds her hand out to the man to help him stand up. The man thanks her warmly. Fëanor swells up his chest again. Elenira is right. They're adults now. In one night, they've confronted a swarm of bees, the ghosts of the elders, and a werewolf. But one final challenge awaits them now. They will have to stand up to the chief of the clan. For Fëanor has decided that it's out of the question that he let Elenira confront his father alone. The night of the test has sealed their friendship. The full moon is truly powerful. It can turn some humans into werewolves, but it can also transform two elves with nothing in common into firm friends. The end.